Today is June 3rd, 2020, and this is episode number 531 of the Apple Context Machine. It's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, sitting here. That's who I am. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, you can shoot me a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine. That'll take you to our Facebook group. Now, I have a sponsor this week. It's very exciting. Helps pay the bills. That sponsor's Clean My Mac X. And later in the show, I'm going to tell you how you can get 5% this rather excellent software from MacPaw. And joining me this week is a young guitar tech from New York City, Bob Levitas.
Oh, Brian, you crack me up. I'm a wannabe guitar legend.
You're a young guitar. Were you a roadie or a guitar tech for the Jackson 5?
For the Jackson 5, I started
the
as
Jacksons.
They were the Jackson 5 when I worked for them.
Okay.
And I started as a kind of a stage roadie equipment wrangler, but I pretty quickly got promoted and I did lighting for 2 years.
You did light? I didn't realize you did lighting.
Oh, yeah. They said, why don't you have that guy, whoever the lighting guy was, train you? Well, they traveled with the smallest lighting rig I've ever seen a stadium act or at least an arena act travel with. We had two racks of lights on like separate hydraulic stands.
Yeah.
So there were like 16 lights. That was their whole stage lighting. That and, you know, the spotlights that come with the building. Because they traveled very light.
What, was this the late 70s?
This was the early 70s. I was in high school.
Were they doing arenas already in the early 70s?
Well, they were doing both. We did, I remember we played the Inglewood Forum, which was, 20,000 seats or 18,000 seats. And we played Madison Square Garden. And then we also did theaters in the round and... We mostly did arenas, not stadiums, but arenas. And a lot of times we did two shows a day.
Huh. I didn't realize they were doing stadiums.
Well, they didn't do early. Stadiums, but they were doing arenas. They could sell out a 15 or 20,000 seater in a big city easy.
Sure. And this was Michael Daugherty joined them. That's when they became the Jackson 5, was when Michael joined them.
Well, Michael was always... I don't know that there was ever a time when he wasn't the lead singer and leader of the band.
Yeah, I think so. We can look that up later offline, but I thought that.
I don't think so. I think Michael sang on their first hit, which I think was ABC, but.
But they had a career before that.
Well, they sang and they. I don't think they recorded anything before that, but Michael was. A force. I mean, if you saw the guy once, you would go, my God, how can one guy be so talented? He was amazing, and he made it look effortless.
Okay, founded in 65 by Jackson, Tito, and Jermaine, while younger brothers Marlon and Michael joined soon after.
Okay. But I don't think they did anything when it was just... Tito, Jackie, and Jermaine, but...
and it looks like their first name was, in fact, the Jackson 5, so I stand corrected, and thank you. I didn't realize
the Jackson
you did lighting
after. I was the lighting guy, and I actually got to do the lights for them in Vegas, which was real lighting. I mean, it was like computerized.
Yeah. Huh.
And lots of lights. Yeah, it was really cool.
And then you were, of course, the guitar tech for... Sean Cass.
I was his guitar tech. I think there was another guitar roadie for the other guitars. But I took care of Sean's guitar.
It was a rough job,
let me tell you.
Do you want to share that one anecdote that I just love?
No.
Please?
No.
Why?
I don't even know which anecdote you're talking about.
You do know what anecdote I'm talking about.
I do.
Yes.
No, I am not going to share that because he probably listens to this podcast and I think he'd be disturbed to know that we used to turn his amp off after the song started.
Okay, well, as long as you're not going to share that the other band members paid you to do that.
Well, I don't know that they paid me. They encouraged me, though. In fact, during rehearsals, they kind of made it pretty plain that, you know, the sound guy could take him out of the mix, but then he'd still be making all that noise on stage. And the sound guy took him out of the mix as soon as he played that first chord. But on stage, he was still playing really loud. So I'd go flip his amp on standby, and he never noticed.
Well, of course not. You wouldn't notice that.
No, not only that, we had the sound guy put the guitar, his guitar in his monitor. So he heard his guitar in the front monitor. We just took it out of the house mix and turned the amp off on stage so that he wasn't like just overpowering everything else.
That is, just fascinating. Anyway, all right. Sorry about the trip down.
Boy, here we are 10 minutes in and we haven't talked tech at all yet.
Well, not even a little bit.
Typical.
Typical, yeah, typical. All right.
Hey, wait. Yeah. Speaking of music, yeah. I heard a rumor that the long-awaited Macworld All-Star Band reunion might actually happen this year.
Yeah, maybe virtually.
As a quarantine thing, you know, like all those other rock and roll stars.
Rock and roll stars, right. That's what we are, rock and roll
we
stars.
We are. We're wannabe rock and roll stars.
Yeah, anyway, maybe something is in the works right now.
Could be. Who am I to say? I'm just the rhythm guitarist. That's almost as low as the bassist.
Except we have two rather excellent bassists. We have two fantastic bassists.
I know.
Yeah, Bob and I are the weak links in that particular band.
No question about it.
No question about it. No question about it, but
it's nice that they let us play with them.
It's true. It is very kind
and generous of them.
Very, very, very true. All right, so listen, we do have some tech topics today. Starting with, I think, aren't you you're working on this for the Houston Chronicle right now, and then of course we'll be publishing it too.
Yes.
So you have dads and grads recommendations.
Yes, and I think it's very timely, so let's talk about that. Okay, my first pick is something I reviewed in January, but it's just such a great gift, and it's like $100. It's called Active 5, and it's this little battery-operated handheld device. It's about as big as a flattened tangerine. It's about an inch thick, and it measures compressive force when you press its exterior surfaces between either two body parts like your palms or your bicep and your forearm or your leg, and or when you press it against a stationary object using a body part. So it's compressive force. It's like isometric exercise, but it's measuring it. And you use this iOS or Android app to go through the exercises, which are games. So you got to kind of control the cursor by squeezing harder and softer. It's really kind of cool. And it gives you a pretty good workout, you know, with certain muscle groups. There's a lot that you can't do with a little 5-inch round device. But for your arms, especially, you can get a quick upper body workout in anywhere, and it's kind of fun. Huh. My wife loves it. She liked it so much, she bought her mom one for Mother's Day.
What's this thing called?
It's called Active 5. A-C-T-I-V 5.
A-C-T-I-V
5. Oh, look, I reviewed it in January. There's a picture. Also, on a related note, so after I wrote that review, of course, every health-related gadget maker in the world pitched me to try their thing. And the only one that's really made any impression on me is called Stealth Core Trainer.
Okay.
It's a planking exercise device. You know what planking is?
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks kind of like a kite, and you put your forearms on it and your feet on the floor, and it's on a pivot. Okay. So it's got 360-degree rotation. So you're leaning on it with your forearms, and like you can lean forward or backward or left or right, and it's got games. So it's got a little well where you drop your phone, and then it uses the accelerometer and the detection to detect what you're doing on this thing. And you go play these games, like you fly in outer space through goal things to score points, or you can hang glide on Earth, and you know, all these hang gliding scenarios. And it's really fun and it's really challenging, and it works 28 muscles or 29 different muscles, and there's a bunch of different exercises. It's called the Stealth Core Trainer.
Okay, the Stealth Core.
And they're on sale now, so it's a good time. They were $149 and $190 when I got mine, and now they're $99 and $149 for a limited time.
Okay, so your feet remain on the floor. It's your forearms that go on this pivoting device.
Correct.
And where are these games shown? Like, is there a display?
No, you put your phone in the well.
Oh, I see.
There's a little rubberized well that'll hold any phone. It's big enough to hold even a phablet. But it's a rubberized, grippy slot, and you're not really moving that much. The idea is it wants to be sitting where it can tell which way you're tilting.
Sure. Because
the games are all based on that, you know, whatever ometer senses your tiltness.
Right. Right.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's like, I'm not much for doing core exercise. Like, you know, ordinarily, I guess I would do sit-ups or something or crunches, and I refuse to do it. It's not fun. This I actually have been doing, and it's kind of fun, and I think it's helping. I think my abs are getting a little bit less flabby and more abby.
So it's a tristealthnow.com.
Yes,
it is. On sale for $99. I'll have that and the Active Body with no E.
Active 5. Yeah. Oh, that's the name of the company.
ActiveBody.com. And I'll have links to both of those in the show notes. How much is that one?
It's $109 now. I think it was $129 or something, or $149, but it's $109.90 today. I checked it.
Yeah, $109.90. You're right. Yeah, they're both supposedly retailing for $149, and they're both $150, really, and they're both on sale.
For Father's Day and graduation.
Yeah, that's
the gifting season.
They both look really interesting. The planking device, the Stealth Core. What is it?
Stealth Core Trainer.
Yeah, they don't really. This website is very, very 2001.
I know.
But the device itself looks really interesting. Is it well built, and would it take someone of my bulk without snapping? Well,
I'm not that much smaller than you, Brian.
Yes, you are.
I'm a good 200 and some pounds, and I've been, you know, you playing the game for a few weeks, I guess, and it doesn't feel like I'm doing it any harm. It's very heavyweight, like thermoplastic. It seems pretty solid. And they sent me both the regular and the deluxe. And the deluxe has got more padding and it's a little bigger. And so I've been using that. And Lisa has been using the standard and she hasn't had any trouble.
You both have your own.
Now we do, yeah.
Wow, you must really like it.
Well, I wouldn't have bought it, but they sent two. Oh, you know, I guess they wanted me to see both of them.
I see.
I wouldn't have bought two of them. But I have to say, I probably, knowing what I know now, would buy one. I'd buy the bigger one.
Yeah, it seems like I should buy the bigger one.
Oh, if you're going to buy one, buy the bigger one.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fun. I mean, if you commit to it, I think you will get a benefit, an exercise benefit from it. And the games are kind of fun. And I haven't even paid for the upgrade yet. There's a $2 a month premium gaming level.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still not that good at the first two games they gave me for free. So I figure it's a waste of money to buy better games until I have enough control to play the two free games.
They're charging you extra for extra games.
Well, no, you get the regular games free, and then there's like a premium tier for $2 a month or something. Maybe it's $1 a month. It's not a big thing.
Sure.
And or if like it's $10 a year. I don't know.
Well, that it looks really. Listen, folks, not like in no way whatsoever do I benefit from this. I'm looking at the site while Bob's talking about it, and it looks really, really interesting.
It is interesting, and it's fun. It really is fun. And I have to say, it's harder than you think.
Oh, okay.
On the website, they make it look like you just kind of put your elbows on and you're good. First of all, don't do it on your feet the first time. Use your knees. Cheat. Because it's really hard to do balanced on your forearms and the tips of your toes. I'm getting to where I can do that, but start by kneeling. Start by, you know, just controlling it while your knees are on. Trust me. I think it's a cool thing because I'm encouraged to go play with it. You know, the game is fun, and I'll put in at least one session every couple of days, if not once a day. I'm trying to do it once a day at least. So that's my, I like these health things that make it gamey, because I don't like to exercise. I am, you know, the only way I go out and I walk, and while I'm walking, I play my bowling game on my iPhone.
Sure.
Because I need to be distracted or I won't exercise. So that keeps me from thinking about all the sweating I'm doing and stuff. All right. Want more?
Yes.
I got some more gift ideas. All right. On the earphone, headphone, you know, whatever you call them, headset front, I love my Apple AirPods Pro, and I think they're worth $249, but not everybody might think so. And even the non-pro AirPods, the regular ones, are $159. And, you know, I liked them a lot until the AirPods Pro came out, and I would recommend them without hesitation. However, $159 might be a stretch. So about a year ago, I started testing anything that looked like it was what I call an AirPod clone. Anything that was, you know, in a charging case and small enough and, you know, just the same kind of form factor. And I've tested at least four or five different pair. Some were way less expensive, but they sounded worse. And I wouldn't even, you know, mention them. And some were about the same price and not any better. But I found one that was significantly less expensive, that sounded at least as good, maybe better, and performed almost as well for $100.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Was that a good buildup?
Yeah.
You want to know what they are?
Yes.
Anker Liberty Air 2.
Well, I love Anker
Liberty Air 2.
I love Anker or Anker, depending on who.
Yeah, I'm not sure
how you want to pronounce it, but I'm looking them up. So it's $100. And all right, so what do you like about them?
They sound great. They're comfortable. They do pretty much the same stuff as your AirPods. You know, I think if you stuck them in my ears and didn't let me touch them, because they're shaped differently, but if I couldn't tactily touch them, I might not know the difference, which was which in my ears. It would be a tough call.
Okay.
So, you know, they're pretty much that they try to look, sound, and work as well as AirPods Pro, and they're the only ones that really I could say they come pretty close.
Well, so how well do they tie in with Siri?
Pardon me?
How well do they tie in with Siri?
The same. You just I don't remember now, but I think you just squeeze one of the buds or tap one of the buds and it connects to Siri.
Can you do hey?
I shouldn't say that in here. Yeah. If you've got it enabled.
Okay. And does it do noise cancellation?
I believe. Let me look. Yeah, you got the page open. Take a look. I don't know. And that is, I think that is a factor, because the noise cancellation on the AirPods Pro is great, and I use it every day in my workshop where it's very loud.
So, yeah, that uses uplink noise cancellation. I don't know what uplink is referencing. I don't know if that's a technology or a concept or a brand. Says each earbud is equipped with two microphones and CVC 8.0 noise reduction technology. I don't know what that is. Environmental noises are reduced by 60%, while 95% of your voice is retained, so you sound louder and clearer on the other end. That's what they claim. And hours of playtime.
People on the phone, I would say I'm using a headset other than my normal one. Sound okay, and nobody ever noticed. You know, if I asked, they'd say, no, you sound like you always do. So I think the sound for, you know, using the microphones is good or pretty good or very good. Might be as good as the AirPods Pro.
And they're
which is they very come in black. Good. Yes. Do they also come in white?
I see one color only, color black.
Yeah, I think mine are black. I didn't know.
Right. So I know there's some people who don't want to have white.
And that's another reason you might like these, because they're not AirPods.
So yeah, how many did you test?
I tested at least four. This was one of the four.
And how was it? In that one of them has to be the best, was it merely, you know, one of them has to be the best, or was it demonstrably better?
No, it was demonstrably better. None of the other ones, here's the thing. None of the other ones are in the box of things that I am keeping for myself. Mm. And the, what do they call it? The Liberty Air 2 are in my spare box, because if my AirPods Pro were to stop performing, that's what I'd want.
You'd switch over
to them. Yeah. Out of everything else I had, and the rest of them are in a box for, you know, like my kids, if they come over and say, sure. You got any earphones?
Sure. So check this out. Both of them break right now. Goodness, I hope it doesn't happen.
And I steal my wife's regular AirPods.
Okay, so those break too.
No. I've got, okay, and then my fourth gift pick is what I would do if all of our earphones broke. Ready? It's a speaker.
Okay, no. Not only is it back up.
Yeah, which I don't know which ones I would pick if I had all of them.
What would you spend your money on?
Oh, I would buy AirPods Pro again.
Oh, okay.
If I were going to go out and buy something, I think I would buy AirPods Pro again, but I would think really long and hard about going with the Anker. In fact, now that I think of it, at $250, I'd probably buy Liberty Air.
Well, you've got friends that work at Apple that can get you 10 or 15% off, right?
Maybe. I mean, for that, it would be too much trouble.
Yeah, fair enough.
I might buy the Liberty Air if I had to, you know, if I like lost all of my existings and had to buy something tomorrow.
Breaking news here on the Apple Context Machine. If Bob was forced to spend his own money, God forbid, on earbuds, he would buy the Liberty Air 2 and not the AirPods Pro.
And by the way, I bought my first pair of AirPods Pro for $249.
Sure, same.
Yeah, I tried to get some to review, but it's not the same anymore. It's like, you know, Apple doesn't really, I don't think, care if we get our hands on products for review.
Sure.
That's the impression I get. I asked for an iPad and the new keyboard about a month ago, and nobody's even gotten back to me past, oh, yes, we'll let you know when one's available. I just get the feeling they don't really, you know, have a lot of enthusiasm for the loan program anymore. Which is fine. I mean, they're not obligated to, but for 25 years, whatever I've wanted to play with from Apple, they've sent me to play with for a couple of weeks.
Sure. All right, fourth thing before.
My fourth thing is a speaker, because when I can, I prefer not to have things in my ears.
Right.
So like if I'm cooking, I'd rather not wear earphones. I'd rather listen to whatever I'm listening to on a speaker. Now, I've got lots of Bluetooth speakers. I've got a couple of Ultimate Ears. I've got the Mega Boom. I've got a Boom. I've got Audio Engine speaker. I've got lots of them, but the one that I've been using the most is this $55 speaker from Tribbett called the Stormbox Micro. It's very small. It's about maybe, I don't have it with me, but it's maybe 5 inches square and about maybe 2 inches thick. And it has a, integrated tear resistant strap with a clip that you can use to attach it to, let's say, your belt or handlebars or, you know, just almost anything that you could wrap a loop around.
Sure. How big is it?
I don't know, about 4 inches by 4 inches or 5 inches by 5 inches and a couple inches thick. But it sounds like my wife, I was listening to it in the shower the other day and my wife said, that speaker is really loud. Hmm. And I've had other bigger speakers in there and mm-hmm. she's never said that. Mm-hmm. So either I'm losing my hearing and playing it louder or it's actually louder, but it sounds really good. It goes, it's 8 hours of playtime and it's got that extended Bluetooth. So they claim up to 100-foot range and I haven't gotten 100, but I do get more than 33. Oh, you know, I can like, I can walk for all around my house and it keeps playing. Whereas with a lot of these Bluetooth speakers, when I get to the next room,
yeah,
it starts to get flaky. Yeah, it's, and it's water. I don't know if it's waterproof, but it's water resistant and dust resistant and, you know, kind of, ruggedized, you know, it looks like it'll take a bunch of abuse if it needed to. I haven't abused mine yet, but you know, it's got that rugged rubbery coating on it and it's $55 and it's, you know, it's, I have been very, very pleased with it. I've been like, it's been following me around the house just because I'm already paired to it and it's charged and it always, I don't know when the last time I charged it was, but it's gone for a long time since the last time I charged it. So $55, and it might be less because it's at Amazon now. So,
all right, I'll stick a link to that as well. Bob, if you can actually send me the name of it.
I will send you all of the names and URLs.
Sweet. Fantastic.
How about that?
It's even better. Right. Even better. All right. So speaking of taking names and kicking butt, which we weren't speaking of at all, whatever. We do have a sponsor this week. It's MacPaw, company I like, and it's specifically Clean My Mac X. Not Clean My Mac 10. They're very specific. It's Clean My Mac X. It's an all-in-one cleaning and optimizing software solution for your Mac. We have a lot of Mac cleaners nowadays, but what makes Clean My Mac X so special is that it's one package that combines the most useful features for your Mac. It gives your system a scan to detect outdated junk files and also lets you see what exactly takes up valuable space by building a virtual map of your Mac's storage. Direct and straightforward UI is another thing that makes the app stand out. It's clear what every feature is meant to do, and I have found that to be absolutely the case, and you'll get step-by-step explanations on every tweak that Clean My Mac X does on your Mac. And it also has an informative menu to keep you updated on the amount of free space on your Mac, your CPU load, RAM memory, how much is available, other essential details. The menu is beautifully designed and gives you a sneak peek at your Mac system. Again, I completely agree with that. I've used this software for years. I used the version before Clean My Mac X, and I've been using Clean My Mac X for the last year or two since it came out. Do you use it, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. I wrote a column about it, I think, late last year.
Yeah, I think you did, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things that for me, with 5 hard disks and you know, just tons of files and lots of ongoing organizational and cleaning chores, it's one of the best things I found. I probably grab it more often than other utilities. Like, I have 10 utilities that can tell me where all my big files are.
Yeah.
But my Mac X seems to be, A, the one that's the most fun to look at, and B, the most accurate in general.
Yeah, and it's,
you know,
it's
also, seems to find stuff the other ones haven't found. And
it's fast and it's safe, too. I love the software. I've been using it for a long time. I really like it, and I'm delighted that they're sponsoring the Apple Context Machine this week. And you, because you're listening, you can get 5% off. This is what you have to do. Go to macpaw.com/podcast. That's where you can download Clean My Mac X today and use coupon code ACM2020 to receive your 5% off. Upon visiting macpaw.com/podcast, click the Buy Now button, then scroll to the bottom of the screen to enter the code before completing your purchase. And for what it's worth, Clean My Mac X is now available in the Apple App Store, the Mac App Store, but you want to do it through from their site in order to get the 5% off. So again, thanks to Mac Paul for sponsoring the show. Thanks for offering us your perspective on it too, Bob. And we have a rather fun topic for topic two, because it's something that it's something I've always been interested in, and I've tried to dabble, and I've always kind of come up short. I've always like not really been able to make it a thing in either like my creative workflow or my professional workflow, and that is mind mapping.
I'm with you. Up until recently, I looked at it and thought, wow, that's very cool, and never really saw a way to use it in anything that I did.
What changed?
Somebody pitched me from a mind mapping firm, and I decided to take a look at some mind mapping apps again, thinking maybe this time, you know, the bell would go off, and it did.
All right, well, let's hear about it, because like this is one of those things that I want to have it be a part of my creative and work life. So hit me here.
So I'll give you three things. First, to set the stage, I'm an outliner guy. I love outlines. I learned to write using outlines. When I do a book, I use an outline to organize stuff, and I can move stuff around freely. I love that. Which is part of why I think I had trouble wrapping my head around mind maps in the beginning. But the thing is, all of the mind map programs I looked at have an outline mode. So after you've mind mapped, and I'll explain what that is in a second, you can look at what you've done and work on it as an outline. And for me, that was the aha moment. It's like, okay, so if I can brainstorm by just typing things and pressing a shortcut to create a new thing and blast them out on the screen, and they'll kind of organize themselves every which way, and then I can rearrange them if I want, or look at them as an outline, or rearrange them some so things are connected properly, and then go to the outline to finish. And for me, that made all the difference. So now if I have a big project and I've got a lot of stuff that's going to go in there, I'll start by just blasting everything onto the mind map screen, and everything comes up in its own little, you know, bubble. It looks like a design, what do you call it? Those design where like electrical schematics and stuff with the diamonds and the circles and everything with little lines connecting it. That's kind of what a mind map looks like. You have control over how each node, they're called nodes, looks. And to start with, everything's connected to a central topic node, and then you can have subnodes and subnodes of subnodes. And it's, I'm not sure I have a lot of use for the whole mind map side of it, but as a way to freeform until I'm ready to outline, I think it's very efficient and effective for me. And I don't do that many projects that are big enough in scope to want to do this, to take the time to do this, where I wouldn't just sit down, write a quick outline, and start writing. But for bigger picture things, I'm enjoying this. And I have discovered something that really got my juices flowing. There's a website, right, that specializes in free mind maps, templates, and examples. And they have literally thousands of them. It's called biggerplate.com.
And, let me pull that up.
Biggerplate.com.
And these are what? These are like templates for you to plug in your own concepts into?
Well, some of them are examples that are already done that you could take and overwrite the data that's in them. And some are just templates that have an organizational structure with sample data in them. But the thing is, if you're looking on the site, you'll see, I don't want to open it because we've been having problems with recording. And I'm afraid if Safari starts chewing up cycles, it'll hurt. But there are examples of all different kinds of things you might use it for. There's like, you know, a daily planner template. There's a business plan template.
Are these for a particular? You're looking at them. I am looking at them. There's a You got business mind maps, education mind maps, general mind maps, and then a whole bunch of subcategories and specific examples. Now, are these for a particular mind mapping software?
It's interesting. Some of them are in a specific file format that opens in a particular app. Mm. Some are in a importable generic, I guess there's some kind of importable generic mind map file format that it uses. And then it says on, when you look at, on the website, when you look at them, it tells you what kind of file it is. So you'll know if your particular mind mapping program can open that kind of file. And I found that most of them can. So I downloaded some stuff for XMind and then was able to open it in Mind Manager and I think something else.
And there's so many here that if
you're you can find them for, you can find some for the thing you want. And I think you can download them in PDF if you don't have the appropriate software and just look at them. You know, look at the structure and the way things are done.
Sure.
And that I think is interesting also. It's like, I don't really need to open it in the program and work on it. I just want to see the way people have used it to do things. And for that, even the PDF would be okay.
So my maps can look gorgeous as we're seeing on biggerplate.com, but you know, the thing to me is actually making it like I've long felt, Bob, that if I was going to lay out a fiction story, a novel, that I could use a mind map for it. But again, it's just something that I've always personally found really difficult.
Well, and I did too, and I think the same way. And I think today, knowing that I can switch to the outline, I would probably start a novel or a screenplay by mind map, just spurting out all the scenes I want to put in it and all of the things that need to happen and just spewing them out freeform and then thinking about that as a map.
Yeah.
And then when I get it into some semblance of order, work with it as an outline, which ultimately transforms into prose.
All right. So have you, I know that you were looking at these, you wrote about them. We've got, do I have columns in my queue from you?
Yeah, you should have two.
I do.
The first one was kind of an introduction to the mind mapping concept, and the second one was kind of I wouldn't call it a review of the four, but more of a drill down into what they do and how much they cost. And
sure.
They're more alike than different, you know. They really, all four that I looked at are very similar. They don't look the same, but they have the same basic functionalities.
So are you using one of them? Outside of your reviews?
I haven't really decided. I don't know. Now that I have four of them, I don't know. I haven't really learned one of them well enough to like say it's my default go-to.
Right.
I think probably if I were going to build something, I would build it in Mind Manager, partly because it seemed that more of the templates on Bigger Plate were Mind Manager format.
Yeah.
And it also seems like Mind Manager has the deepest bench. They have tutorials and lots of good content and also the ability to link things. So for example, if I had stuff in an Excel spreadsheet that I wanted to use in a mind map in Mind Manager, I can sync that so that if the spreadsheet changes So there's lots of things that are in Mind Manager that I didn't see in the other ones that might make it a better choice for something other than just brainstorming and outlining.
That makes sense.
Brainstorming and outlining, I think any of them would be fine. Any of the four.
All right. Well, we'll have a link at least to Mind Manager in the show notes. And when I get your columns published, I will hopefully retroactively add those links.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, maybe when I publish them, I will add a link to the show in your columns. How's that?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right. That is a good idea. Okay. Well, so topic three.
What's topic? Oh, wait a minute.
Working from home.
I had it on the... Oh, yeah. Tips for working from home.
Tips for working from home, which is obviously topical.
Here is my favorite tip for working from home.
Okay.
Learn where Do Not Disturb is on all your devices and enable it before you start the Zoom meeting. Thank you.
Wait a minute. How many Zoom meetings have you had?
Two. No, I'm kidding. I've had a bunch. All the PR pitches lately. I know, all the PR pitches, though. Everybody's getting into it now. They don't even want to talk on the phone anymore. They want to do Zoom.
Yeah.
So even if it's phone, turn off your devices if you're working. You know, the it's just so annoying when you're talking to somebody and their phone starts ringing. They're in a Zoom thing and there's five people and somebody's phone starts going off. It's really easy to put your phone in Do Not Disturb mode. Same thing with your Mac. In fact, there's a shortcut on your Mac that's awesome. So you option click the notification center icon and you turn on Do Not Disturb till tomorrow. Boom. You don't have to open anything, no switches, cool.
What if you don't want
app,
it until tomorrow?
Well, then you open it again when you want it to turn back on and turn the switch. Wait, but so you don't even have to look at the switch to turn it off or option click to turn it on again.
I am option clicking my notifications.
Yeah, so did it turn gray when you option clicked it?
Yes.
Yeah, that means that it's off. Pull down on the menu while you're doing it so you can see the Do Not Disturb switch and you'll see it go on and off when you option.
So it doesn't even tell you what it's doing. It's just, it goes to gray and it's just done.
Does it.
Is just yep. done. Huh. Look at that, Bob. Okay. Well, sorry, folks. We just had a bit of a technical issue. So
I would call it a snafu.
A snafu. There we go. And I'm normally I like making my edits seamless, but in this particular case, we were talking, Bob, about turning off your devices and meeting people on Zoom and how Zoom has become a really popular way for things that might have once taken place over the phone, and to mute your devices. Oh, and we were talking about the
Do Not Disturb.
Do Not Disturb. Yeah, it just works. You click it; it goes to gray.
Great.
Option click it again. Click. Option click it, and it goes back to black, which means that you'll once again get notifications on your Mac.
And here's another one on your phone. When you go to Control Center and you see the little moon icon. Mm-hmm. If you long press on it, you get options like for 1 hour, until this evening, or until I leave this location, all three of which are super useful.
Oh, yeah, because now you don't have to worry about it.
Right. There isn't something like that on your Mac, but you just have to option click the menu to turn it off and on.
That is sweet. Slick. For 1 hour, until this evening, until I leave this location.
So there's two tricks. I'm so happy that you didn't know those two because they're ones I use all the time. And they were in, I think both of them were in the column that you edited. So.
Yeah. No one will know that.
Proving once again that you don't read my stuff before you press publish.
I do read it, but I read a lot of things.
That's okay. I'm glad that these two shortcuts registered with you because that means people listening, some of them don't know either of them or one or the other, and they're both well worth memorizing.
Yeah, the both of them. Yes, both of them. I'm actually pretty pleased. By the way, that's an Android device I have here for testing. And I have no idea how to make it not make noise. So sorry about that. All right.
I have an Android device. I got an Android tablet, so I'd have something Android to play with. Yeah. And the way I made it shut up was I let its battery drain out, and I haven't recharged it. I figure if I ever need it, I'll recharge it.
But yeah.
Until then. It was making weird dings, and I have no idea where to go to turn it off.
No idea. Same here. All right, give us another tip for working at home.
Another tip for working at home. Okay. Put a physical sign on your door that says, quiet, please, or do not enter, meeting in progress or something. It's analog. It costs zero. But it works, and people don't think to do that. But if you've got a room where you're working and you need to be uninterrupted, try taping a sign to the door.
Are you talking about for meetings, or are you talking about for working in general?
For Zoom, if you're, well, it depends. If you're the kind of person that hates getting interrupted, try it when you're trying to work. But even more so, try it when you're in a meeting with other people on Zoom, because nothing is worse than the door opening and the wife saying, honey, will you get some, you know, yep. while you're in a meeting.
Yep.
So putting a sign on your door makes it really obvious. And I have one that's reversible. One side says, quiet, please, recording in progress. The other side says, enter at your own risk. Depending on how severe I need the sign to be today.
Yeah, it's very charming and welcoming of you. All right, do you have any more? No, it sounds like no.
I'm trying to think of what I wrote in all those columns.
I haven't published.
You know, yet. make what's behind you look attractive so that guy on Twitter won't make fun of you.
Yeah.
I saw David Pogon there the other day, and he had pillows that were, he got 9 out of 10, but his draperies were ugly.
You know, I've
my wife collects those. She's so funny. She sends them to me all the time. It's like, look at this person's Zoom background. He's got pineapples.
I live in a home that is older, and it has, the walls are many inches of plaster. And I am terrified of going to putting a nail in the wall and then having the whole wall, like, you know, flake off.
Crumble.
Yeah. And so I don't have anything up on my walls, and I hate it, especially when it comes to doing doing podcasts and video recordings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been planning on getting some kind of a backdrop, but I haven't done it yet. I know that Andrew had covered a company that was like a bookstore that was like basically putting together books to make your shelves behind you look impressive.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah,
cause funny that's what's behind me when I shoot video. Cause my computer is facing my bookcase,
mm-hmm.
but mine is filled with the books that I would want on camera. Ones I've written.
Of course. Sure. You know,
Now you can rent them, huh? They'll make you a backdrop.
They'll make you a backdrop.
Say, I want to look like I'm a rocket scientist, and they'll stock the books behind you with rocket scientist books. Yes,
or, you know,
that is so sick. That is so sick.
Yeah, sick in a good way, right?
Yeah.
All right, Bob, thank you very much for joining me today. Appreciate it. Oh, okay.
One more tip. If you're going to do video, turn on some lights. Light is your friend when you're doing video. I hate seeing people who have all the lights off and they're barely in shadow. You can't tell if they're even there. It's not a good look. Turn on some lights.
That makes sense. So once again, I appreciate you joining me.
Always my pleasure. I love podcasting. I just don't want to have a podcast.
It really surprises me, man.
I know, it's just too much work. It's just like my newsletter that I keep not publishing. You know, it's like I have a newsletter and I'm supposed to publish it weekly, and stuff happens and it's not high on my list of priorities. I don't know. And yeah, plus, the podcasts that I would do are already being done and probably done better by someone else.
I don't know, man. You got a good voice, but here, look, this is how we do. That's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And our sponsor this week is Clean My Mac X. You can use coupon code ACM2020 to get 5% off if you go to macpaw.com/podcast. And Bob, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Like I said, anytime, Brian. Always happy to do it for you.
Thanks, brother.
That's always fun.